شكرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. It is only with the fazal, karam and ihsan of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat has allowed for us to witness the first few days of this Mubarak month of Ramadan Sharif. And we make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat grant us a long life with afiyat so that we can accumulate maximum amount of good deeds and we can become closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and we can witness many more Ramadans. And in this Ramadan Sharif, Allah Ta'ala keep us with sihat. Allah Ta'ala keep us such that our time doesn't become consumed. Sometimes a person on purpose consumes their time with layani, with futile things, or with dunyavi pursuits. A person does it on purpose. But on the other hand, you get many people that this is not their intention. Their intention is to free themselves for the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, to try and make the best, try and maximize and make the best of this Mubarak month. But then certain things happen. Things happen which are out of one's control. I know one person, he normally always waits for Ramadan Sharif to come. Always sit for i'tikaf and spend maximum amount of his time in the masjid, engaging in different types of ibadat, etc. But now, few months before Ramadan Sharif, he was diagnosed with cancer. One of his family members told me that now the doctor is saying that you have to go and do the operation now and now. Whatever in the medical field. Now this person, this would not have been his intention. He would have wanted to spend his time in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. But sometimes it is Allah Ta'ala's decree. And certain things happen which then consume us. And now a person cannot, sometimes can't even keep roza also. Person can't read tarawih also. So in that kind of a situation, a person must not become despondent. And a person must not go into like a depression. Sometimes people start thinking that, oh, maybe Allah Ta'ala doesn't love me. That's why Allah Ta'ala now deprived me. Wa na'udhu billah. Why must Allah Ta'ala deprive somebody who is yearning to do good? So our Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Ta'ala put his cover with noor. But in many, many majalis, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali used to speak about ikhtiyari and ghair ikhtiyari. Certain things are within our control. So there Allah Ta'ala has given us the choice to do the right thing. But other things are ghair ikhtiyari, they are totally out of our control. Things that are out of our control, then whatever Allah Ta'ala has decreed, we must be happy and pleased with the decree of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Sometime a person gets married. Now, in anything, a person gets into a business venture, then they want to see sales. A person starts building a house, so now you want to see the time when the house is populated, people can move in. In anything, you want to see the fruit of it. So now when a person gets married, then the person now wants to see the fruit of marriage, wants to see now aulad, wants to see children. But sometime Allah Ta'ala didn't decree children. So if Allah Ta'ala didn't decree children, then the couple, they need to accept that now. They need to accept, okay, Allah Ta'ala has not written aulad for me. So I must be pleased with the hukam and the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Now when we try to go against that, no, I must have a child, no matter what, then sometime a person gets involved in things that are haram, things that are haram, things that are shameless. Now, why? Because I forgot that I am the banda of Allah Ta'ala. I forgot that I am the servant of Allah Ta'ala. I now want to take things in my own hand. So here I just mentioned this. It wasn't the topic. This came in the mind. Inshallah there is some khair. So this Mubarak month of Ramadan Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Sharif that the objective of this roza, etc., is for us to develop the quality of taqwa. Now you have heard over and over, year in, year out, from different people, and this year also, you must have heard, that what is this taqwa? So if a person has to put it in just one or two words, then taqwa is Allah consciousness. Allah consciousness. That the person, he is conscious and aware at all times that my Allah Ta'ala is watching me. My Allah Ta'ala is hearing me. My Allah Ta'ala knows what is in my heart, the thoughts in my heart, in my mind. Whatever I do, Allah Ta'ala is aware of it. So this is what we need to try to accomplish. Because this is what Allah Ta'ala wants us to accomplish. When a person develops taqwa, and the person is now aware that Allah Ta'ala is watching me, so I now understand that I am the slave of Allah Ta'ala. The biggest tragedy is when we don't know what we are or who we are. See, if a lady gets married, now if she doesn't understand that, see, I am the wife, and my husband, he is the Amir of the house. So whatever decision my husband makes, so I have to be pleased with that decision. Even though I may not be fully happy about it, yes, I can voice my opinion, but in the end, whatever my husband decides, so I will have to go with that. Now if that lady, when she comes into the marriage, she realizes that, then now, lot of her problems will be solved. In the marriage, lot of her problems will be solved. If, for example, her mother has to phone her and say that, Betty, this weekend, your brothers and sisters are coming home, all your nephews, nieces, they're coming home, why don't you all also come? So now what she'll say? Say, you know what, mommy, you rather ask him. He's the Amir of the house. Or she'll say that, all right, I'll discuss it with him and see. So now, obviously, she's looking forward to going. But she understands that I can't make any decision. She can't tell her mother that, all right, mummy, no problem. What I must cook? What can I bake? What must I make? All right, don't worry, I'll bring this. Don't worry, we'll be there by that time. So now she finished make all these things in her mind that she's going. She already told them she's going to bring so much roti and so much cake and dessert and whatever. Now when he comes home and she tells him, or today's time, they don't even wait to come home. They just WhatsApp. Everything is WhatsApp. So now she tells him that, look, mommy called us and we need to be there by that time and whatever. So he says to her, but you know what, not possible for me this weekend. I got some other commitment. Now the jagra starts. Now the fight starts. But I already told them, but every time you can't take me. He just took you 2 weekends ago. But now what you say, every time you can't take me. Whenever it's my family thing. But last month, your niece got married. How many times he ran up and down? But you forget everything now. Why? Because you got yourself, all your hopes, you got it up. You forgot that I first have to find out from my Amir. I forgot what is my function in the house. That my priority is I must keep my husband happy. As long as he's not asking me to break any of Allah Ta'ala's ahkam. Now my husband's rule comes first. Not what my father says, not what my mother says. Now what my husband says, that comes first. Now if the lady came into the marriage with that mindset, then lot of her problems will be solved. But if she came into the marriage not understanding her place in the marriage, then now all the time she'll be having jagra. Every time they'll be fighting. You take the children. If the children don't understand their place in the house, now the mother tells the child that, bachcho, go clean up your room. No, I'm busy now. No, I don't want to clean. Now he back answers the mother. Mothers, this thing is gone so bad that when children back answer the parents, today's zamana, the young parents, the younger parents, they themselves not understanding what adab is. Because they themselves, they never have adab towards their parents. And they never get one tamacha when they step out of line. So they don't know what it is. So when their own children are back answering them, being disrespectful to them, they can't even identify that this is disrespect. So every era is being worse and worse. Until we will come to the time before Qiyamah, what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَنْتَرِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا, that the lady, she will give birth to her master. What one of the explanations, what the ulama, the shurra of hadith, what they say, is that the children, they will be ordering the parents. The parents will become like the slaves of the children. The children will be ordering the parents. And today it's become like this. Parents are actually frightened for their children now. And the children are being so disrespectful. Now, if that child is being disrespectful, isn't that child's pathway to Jahannam is being paved? So the parents, they're not doing any favors to the children by being the children's friend. This mindset, kuffar mindset, that no, you must befriend your children. So we think now that must be like friends. No, there's no such thing. The parent is the parent. The child is the child. Friends, you are on one level. Parent and child, you're not on one level. You can't even walk in line with your parents. You have to walk behind them. But now when the children, they are put on the pedestal. So the children don't know what is their position in the house. So now there's chaos in that home now, because they don't know what is their position. If you got a garden boy that comes to do the garden work, so if the garden boy enters the house and starts lounging on your lounge suite, so is that going to upset you or not? But you're supposed to be in the garden. So he said, no, this lounge suite looking very comfortable. Nobody is using it. I just want to relax a little bit on the lounge suite. So what will you say? That you haven't understood who you are. You are the garden boy. You're supposed to be in the garden. You are not part of the household here that you must be sitting on the lounge suite. So in any relationship, in any situation, if the worker in the business, imagine your maid comes tomorrow morning and she tells you that, madam, go and start scrubbing the toilets there. I'll be sleeping in your bed till 9 o'clock. So you get very upset because she's not understanding what is her kaam and what is your status. So in any relationship, if we forget who we are, then we cause chaos. Now the tragedy is that in our relationship with Allah Ta'ala, we have forgotten that Allah Ta'ala is my master. Allah Ta'ala is my creator. Allah Ta'ala is my king. Allah Ta'ala is my nourisher. And I am the slave. Now it is unfortunate that you see in this zamana we have not experienced any jihad. The ummah doesn't make jihad anymore. Illa mashallah, 1-2 places. Otherwise the ummah is not engaged in jihad. So this aspect of slavery is not there. So when we talk about a slave, we don't understand what is a slave. We don't understand what is a slave. See, one buzurg, he purchased one slave girl. He purchased the slave girl and he brought her home. Now, a slave owns nothing. A slave doesn't have any money. A slave cannot even get married unless the master allows the slave to get married. A slave cannot work and earn their own money unless the master tells them to go and work. If they go and work and earn, whatever money they make must go to the master. The slave owns absolutely nothing. But it is the master's responsibility to give the slave a shelter, to provide for the slave clothing, and to provide for the slave food, and obviously all the other ahkam, that he mustn't make zulam on the slave, etc. So this buzurg, he purchased the slave, he brought the slave home. So now he has to look after her. So he asks her, let's see, what is your preference with regards to food? So she says that whatever you feed me, that's my preference. What kind of clothing you like to wear? Because now he has to provide clothes for her, so he'd rather buy what she likes. Whatever clothing you provide for me, that is what is my preference. Your sleeping arrangement, how must I make your sleeping arrangement, your lodging, how must I do it? Whichever way you do it, that is what I will prefer. So this buzurg, he began to weep. And he said that today this slave girl, she has taught me the reality of a slave. That I am a slave of Allah Ta'ala. What Allah Ta'ala has allowed for me to eat, that must be my preference. What Allah Ta'ala has allowed for me to wear, that must be my preference. How Allah Ta'ala keeps me, that must be my preference. Our Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, Naun Barakatuhu, when he explains this concept, then he says, I got no desires. A slave, I got no desires. My desire is his desire. In other words, whatever Allah Ta'ala wants me to do, how Allah Ta'ala wants me to be, what Allah Ta'ala has allowed, that is what I can engage in. What Allah Ta'ala has prohibited, I can't engage in. Because Allah Ta'ala is my master. I am just a mere slave. So when we forget that I am a slave, then we bring corruption into our life. Because now I want to do what I feel like doing. Even if it is in the line of deen. We think we are doing something in the line of deen. Right? But now we are overstepping the boundary of the sharia. But if I realize that I am a slave, you know, our Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he had given us this example that once when Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was in Durban, so one person came with his child. He came to meet Hazrat. Now they bring the child along also. Hazrat can make dua for the child, etc. So this person went to meet Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, and he had his little child with him, maybe few year old, couple years old child. So Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, he took a sweet. Hazrat used to say toffee. He took one toffee and he presented it to the child. Now children, they love sweets. Children love sweets. You don't have to tell them to like sweets. Just naturally, they love sweets. You have to stop them from the sweets. But this child never take the sweet. Child never take the sweet. The child turned around and looked at his Abba. That is my Abba allowing me to take the sweet or not? So the father now, the Abba, told the child, say, no, but you take the sweet. Hazrat is giving you a sweet, take the sweet. Now this child extended his hand and took the sweet. So on this occasion, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi, he mentioned, he said that is bacche ne humko ek bara sabak sikhaya. He said that this child has taught us a very great lesson. That I presented a sweet to this child. The child never took it. The child looked at the Abba for confirmation. That can I take the sweet or not? Only when he got the approval from his Abba, then he took the sweet. So Hazrat mentioned, if only we can adopt this in our life, that anything I'm going to do, I must get the approval from my Rabbah, from Allah Ta'ala, that Allah allow me to do this. I'm going to open my mouth. Now I'm going to say something, but I'm talking ill of somebody else. I'm going to say something, if that person comes to know what I'm saying, that person is going to be offended. So Shariat calls this ghibat, backbiting. So now, did my Allah, who owns this tongue of mine, did he allow me to say this? Or will he become naraz? He will become angry if I have to say this. So now my Allah Ta'ala is going to become naraz. So chup. Man samata naja, that person who is silent, he will be saved. Sabse bari chup. Now keep quiet. Finish. I mustn't open my mouth now. Why must I say anything? This word that I am going to talk, my Rabb is watching me. He's listening to me. The malaika are going to record. My limbs are going to record. The earth is going to record. So now, is it a right thing or a wrong thing? What did my Allah say? Not what my nafs wants to do. Not what is acceptable in society. No. What does my Allah, what is my Allah saying? What is the command of my Allah? This is this taqwa we're talking about. Allah give it to me first. I'm lacking most. But this is this taqwa. The whole object of Ramadan Sharif is not just a customary thing. That now I just keep my rozas and read my tarawis. So I'm done. I'm done for the month. I'm done for the year now. I finished. I kept my rozas. I read my tarawis. No. This is an exercise. This is an exercise to achieve a greater objective. That this taqwa must come into my life. As soon as my eyes open in the morning, I must think of my Allah. Any movement I make, Allah. My Allah is watching me. My Allah is watching me. When I put my head down at night, Allah. Anything is presented to me, first Allah. This thought process, at every moment, I am with Allah. I am with Allah. Allah is with me. So this is the objective of this Mubarak month of Ramadan Sharif. It's not just, I'm just clocking the paras, I'm just doing, it's not a numbers game. All this we have to do, the ibadat, everything, we have to exert ourselves. But it's not just a numbers game. You see, you take for example, our works of deen, the different works of deen, whether it is Hifz class, somebody is memorizing the Quran Sharif, becoming Hafizul Quran. Today even the girls, they're all becoming Hafizas and everything. Right? Then you get the Alim class. People are studying, becoming Ulama. Girls are becoming Alimas. Then you get the work of Tabligh. People are discussing the 6 points. They're reading Fazail the Amal. They're engaging in the different amal, etc. Then you get tasawuf, our khankas, our darul ulums. So these are all works of deen, all the works of deen. So what is the objective of all these works of deen? What is the objective? The objective now is that we attain that ilm. The ilm of the Shariat, right, which I must now practice and I must establish. I must practice it, I must establish it, I must propagate it. How much am I going to establish? That will be according to how much Allah Ta'ala has given me the authority to establish. I will have to establish it. So now a lady in her home, now she went out, for example, she learned about the deen of Allah, right? Or maybe the family that she is from, now they are involved in work, tabdili work, and she even went Masturat Jamaat. Now when she went Masturat Jamaat, now she was eating on the floor. Why she's eating on the floor? See, this morning, after Fajr Namaz, so I dismissed the students, right? Those who stay in the madrasa in the weekend. I said, right, jao, if you want to go and rest, go and rest now. So one student is walking and he got his hands in the pocket. Both his hands are in his pocket and he is walking now and is coming out of the masjid. So I called his name and I indicated to him that he must come to me. So now when he turned around to walk to me, now immediately his hands came out of the pocket. So when he came, so I made salam with him, I held his hand. I said, "Bhai, tell me something. Why were you walking with your hands in the pocket? Number one. And when I called you, why you took your hands out of the pocket?" So, he himself now felt that for me to walk with my hands in the pocket towards now my ustad or whoever, it's something disrespectful. It's disrespectful. That's why he took his hands out of the pocket. That this is not an appropriate way for me to walk. But when you were walking out of the masjid, why you had your hands in the pocket? Because I forgot Allah Ta'ala is watching me. See. So I forgot Allah Ta'ala is watching me. So now I'm in a ghaflat. So I'm behaving how I want to behave. But if at all times I am concerned that Allah Ta'ala is watching me, now even if I am in seclusion, even if I am in seclusion, nobody can see me, I'm alone. At that moment also, I will not do anything that will make my Khuda naraz. My Allah Ta'ala, my whole life is dependent on Him. I'm totally, totally muhtaj on my Allah. My Allah Ta'ala can just pull the carpet from beneath my feet at any given moment. So I cannot afford to make my Allah Ta'ala naraz. If perchance some action happen mistakenly in a moment of ghaflat, then immediately I resort to tawbah, I resort to istighfar, I turn to Allah Ta'ala and ask for forgiveness. So now, if I went and I went in Mastura, the lady I'm talking, because it's a lady's program. So the lady went in Mastura. She's sitting on the floor and she ate. For 3 days, 2 days, I'm not promoting, I'm not saying you must go. I'm just saying, this is what happens. So now the person went, now 10 days, 40 days, whatever. For the whole 40 days, ate on the floor. We come back home, and now we are on our dining room table. Right? There's no, not mazur. Because you managed all the other days on the floor, now on the dining room table. So now, what was the object of me going out? Was just to click the, you know, mark the register that I did my time. But is deen coming into my life? The same if I'm studying. If I'm studying, I studied the ahadith, I learnt about parda, I learnt about hijab, all these things. Now I finish madrasa, I became an alima, and the local maktab, they looking for an apa. So the same maulana who taught me in that same maktab, they phone me now to say that no, we need one apa. So you very happy that my own maktab, they're calling me back. But when you go there, the maulana who is the principal of that maktab, he is freely talking with all the apas. And because you are his student, now he's talking to you also. Now is this thing permissible or not? He is a strange man. Never mind he taught you, but he is a strange man. You are a stranger to him. He is a stranger to you. There must be the laws of parda. Now I learnt it all in the kitabs, but here now I went to be in a ghaflat. So why am I wearing my hijab? Why am I wearing my niqab? For what? I'm just wearing my hijab and my niqab just to mark the register that I am in parda. But I go to the shop, I'm talking to the men, I'm running around alone in the town, going from this market to that market, I'm too sitting in the restaurant, I'm also sitting in the coffee shop and the milkshake shop. No, but I got my parda on. So I'm just marking a register that I'm in parda. But in reality, am I really bringing that parda into my life? All the ahkam, everything, am I establishing that part of Shariat in my life? Now, like this, we have to look at everything in our lives. This Mubarak month of Ramadan Sharif is a time for us to reflect. Is a time for us to take stock. We're supposed to be doing it all year round. That's why our akabirin, our mashayikh, they tell us that every night, before we sleep away, make some muhasabah. Take an account of the day. How did I spend my day? If some good Allah Ta'ala allowed for me to do, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. If certain thing I did was inappropriate, let me ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. If some banda I hurt, I need to, that's hukukul ibad, I need to sort that out. Something I'm unsure of, I must find out the masla. So it's time for us to reflect. We're supposed to be doing it every day. But we are so caught up in our dunyavi pursuits, our dunyavi activities, right? We so caught up in our homes, sajaving our houses, you know, that we got no time to think about deen. And whatever deen work we're doing, it has just become like formalities. Just become like formalities. Mothers, sisters, I'm telling you, this concept of parda, take it very, very seriously. Very seriously. You see, it's unfortunate, right? That even those homes which are supposed to be homes of outwardly pious people, that we got some taluk with mashayikh, or we got some taluk with the work, tabligh, etc., or maybe there's some ulama in that family, all that. So everybody in the family, they're wearing kurtas, they got beards, the men folk, the women folk are in parda, they're wearing niqabs. And in the community, they are looked upon that, no, these are the pious people. After that, only Allah Ta'ala knows who is pious and not pious. But in the communities, these are the pious people. But even this kind of homes, we are not adopting parda. We are not adopting parda. Sometime, what's happening? The big daughter, your big daughter now, she may be 20 years old, right? Her nikah is taking place. You got a daughter in the house, she may be 8 years old. Nalliche. She's still nabaliga, she's small. So when this brother-in-law comes into the house, this new brother-in-law, now your son-in-law, comes into the house. So the small child now, you overlook it. You overlook it. She's small now. So if that husband and wife, that means your daughter and son-in-law, they're going to the shop, they're going to buy one ice cream or something, this one wants to go with them, yeah, no problem, you send. But after that, now when she's 11 years old, she's coming closer to the age of baligha, you still allowing? With which akal you allowing? And now she becomes baligha. So now because it's the family custom that everybody goes into parda, so she too is gone into parda. But then she's still going with them? Akal kaha mar gayi? Where did our brains go away? The brains, where it died? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, alham al-mut. This brother-in-laws, cousins, all these close people, they are like death. And we feeling, no, we all one big happy family. Nothing going to happen in our home. It's not about what's going to happen in our home and not going to happen in our home. It's what is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. Whether something happens or don't happen, as soon as we crossing the line of parda, we are breaking the law of Allah Ta'ala. Is that not important to us? And now, so many cases are coming of this nature. Wallahi, I'm telling you, so many cases are coming of this nature. The brother-in-law is involved with the sister-in-law. The son-in-law is involved with the other daughter. Because we don't want to be strict with this parda. We don't want to be strict with it. Huzur Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was at home with two of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. I don't know whether it was Ma Safiya and Ma Maymuna radhiyallahu anha. I don't know which two, but it was with two of the Ummatul Qur. Umm Salama. Okay, two of the Ummatul Mu'minin. And one Sahabi came. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radhiyallahu ta'ala. Now, the ajeeb thing about Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiyallahu anhu. One day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with the chiefs of the Quraysh. Senior people, chiefs of the Quraysh. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now having a discussion with them. You got to hope that these people now, you know, if they bring Iman, then the whole Quraysh will accept Islam. And these are the powerful people of the community. And at that moment, this same Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu came. Now he was a blind Sahabi. So he doesn't know now that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in one important meeting with all these chiefs. And he wants to find out something. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is thinking that, you know what, he's already a Muslim. If I don't attend to him now, it's no problem. I can always attend to him later. But these chiefs, if I'm now going to turn my attention away from them and see to this Sahabi, they may get upset, offended and go away. So I won't have this opportunity now to give them da'wat to Islam. And a frown came on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak face, because Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, he's not realizing and he's persistent now with what kaam he came for. Immediately Allah ta'ala revealed the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Abasa wa tawalla an ja'ahu al-a'ma. Basically, Allah ta'ala is telling Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that no, don't worry about these people. You should have turned to him. He came with talab. He came with talab. You should have turned to him. These people, they acting like they're independent of the deen of Allah. The deen of Allah is independent. If you want to accept, you accept. You don't want to accept, it's your own loss. So I'm just giving you this background, because after this incident, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He developed such a love for Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu, and he used to hold him in like high regard, that Allah ta'ala, you know, spoke on his behalf when he came and I wasn't seeing to him. Allah ta'ala spoke on his behalf that I should have seen to him. So Allah ta'ala is giving guarantee that he's coming with talab. He is a sincere person. He's coming with talab. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also held him in high regard. But despite all of that, you see, today we think, no, he is the Mauli Sahab, he is very pious, he is her Ustad, he is the Amil. Today the Amils are put on, I don't know what kind of pedestal. And what they are doing with our girls. So, although now he was of such a, and he is blind, but he comes here to the house. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicates, he tells the Ummatul Mu'mineen that you all go away behind the parda. Ihtajiba, go away behind the parda. So, they say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, huwa a'ma. That he is a blind person, he can't see us. In other words, what's the need for us to go behind the parda? He is blind. He can't see us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks them, Afa am yawani antuma? The two of you, are you all also blind? In other words, it's a two-way thing. It's not only he mustn't see you. What about you seeing him? You are not blind. And who these were? Ummahatul mu'mineen. Allah ta'ala chose the best to be the Ummahatul mu'mineen. The household of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How pious they must have been. And today we think that no. I can talk with this Morana. I can talk with that one. The women are gone so bold. Allah maaf kare. In the madrasa also, sometime now maybe they want chutti for the child or something. The husbands, they understand that no, that's the qanun of the madrasa. So they are frightened to phone. They don't want to phone to ask for extra leave and all that, because they know now we got the year plan and now we can't phone. The ladies got jurat. No, no, we'll phone. They are phoning. I mean, where is the sharam? Where is the sharam? The lady today is not thinking that what's supposed to be my haya. She's phoning the morana now to ask leave for the child. Behayai is gone to such a degree. With our pardas, there is behayai. With our pardas too, there is behayai. So in this Ramadan Sharif, all these things we need to think, that in my home now, what is contrary to the sunnah? So let us slowly start coming closer towards the sunnah. What are the things that are haram, but we are, just because now it was happening from before, now it's just carrying on. Now for example, sometimes the brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws, maybe before they were not in parda. Lot of homes it happens like that. They were not in parda. So now everybody was talking, sab kuch andar maskan andar. They're having family get-togethers. Today, you know, in the name of deen, it's like insult to injury. In the name of deen, we're doing so many things in the name of Allah Ta'ala's deen. But there's no deen in what we're doing. We're doing things in the name of Allah Ta'ala's deen. But there is no deen in what we're doing. People today, they have family get-togethers. When they're having family get-togethers, they say that no, how are our children going to know who their family is? And Sula Rehmi is such a big thing. Sula Rehmi is such a big thing in our deen. So in the name of Sula Rehmi, we are having a family get together. And they tell the whole family to. You see, the Sula Rehmi is such an important thing to maintain the family ties. So make sure now, just free yourselves. Everybody must come for this family get together. But in that family get together, photography, in that family get together, so much of extravagance, in that family get together, men and women, they are mixing, talking. That kind of family get together you shouldn't have had. Shouldn't have had. The real meaning of maintaining family ties, what is the real meaning? Is not now you must call all that so many hundred people, cousins and cousins' children, and this one from there, that one must come from overseas because we're having a family get together. Which deen asked us to do like that? Mahazat Muhammadul Haq Magda Sahib Naun Barakatu, he explained one time. He said, what is the meaning of maintaining family ties? You mustn't have dirt in your heart towards any family member. There must be no hatred, no dirt in the heart towards any family member. That is a true family tie. After that, your very close family, those people, now you can keep contact with them, your parents, your children, your siblings, your grandparents, your mothers, your uncles and aunties, your mothers, brothers and sisters, fathers, brothers and sisters, those you can keep some taluk. All the other people, how are you going to maintain all that family time? Cousins and dozens and don't know who and who. It's not even permissible for you to be speaking to them. The meals for a lady, not permissible to talk to her cousins and all that. But today we're doing it in the name of family ties. in the invitation to it, put the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's just not a mockery of the deen of Allah ta'ala. We say we're having walima. Now, if the family is a little bit on the pious side, so they know now, ulama are educating us, that there's no such a thing as a reception. You just have the nikah. After the nikah, whether it's after the next day or on the same day or whatever, the husband and the wife, they have spent some time together. After that, you have the walima. The walima must be from the boy's side. So now, they say, no, we're not having a reception, but we're just having a lunch. We're just having a lunch. People are coming from out of town and all that, so we're having a lunch. What you having that lunch for? If it's not a reception, what is it? If it is just a normal lunch, so why the boy's side is invited there? If you needed to feed your family, they came from out of town for the nikah. Why the boy's side is invited? And why are you making it all flowery and everything? Normally when you just call people for lunch, you don't do all those things. So we mustn't fool ourselves. We're aping the Christian and then we're patting ourselves in the back that we're not doing. We're fooling ourselves. Then we say we're having the walima. And then when we have the walima, what is happening in that walima? So much of extravagance, intermingling. Today's time now, because the family is a little bit more on the pious side, is known to be on the pious side, but we want the music. But now we can't put music, because everybody will say this Tablighi family put music, this Sufi family put music, this Alima family put music. So now we have to find those songs which are called Nazams. But they got the same Bollywood tunes and everything. And get one big radio now, big speakers, and play that thing in the hall. Now when the bride is walking in, now must play that thing in the hall. Who we aping? Who we aping? That girl wants to wear a Christian wedding dress. So now, alright, no, the Christians wear it in white. We'll make a cream color one. It's still that same wedding dress. No, we'll make it in another color. So we're not imitating the... So now they get one fatwa now. They go by the mufti. So the mufti say, no, okay, it's not white. So you're not really imitating the Christian. But you go to ask yourself, why do I want to wear that dress? Where I got that idea from? Where the idea came from? Did it not come from this Nasara? So there's so many things like that. There must be so many things in my life. There's so many things like this in the Ummah. This Ramadan Sharif is a time for us to reflect. Time for us to turn to Allah Ta'ala. When we're waking up Sehri time, we're reading our Tahajjud, we're making our Dua. Don't only worry about our dunyavi needs. When something goes off in our dunya, we crying, phoning, everyone make dua for me, this, that. Yes, nobody say you can't do it. But when are we going to cry for our deen? When am I going to cry because my akhlaq is putrid? I'm hurting people around me. I'm arrogant. I'm boastful. I got no ikhlas in me. When am I now going to worry about all these things? When am I going to bring sunnat into my home, bring simplicity into my home? When is all these things going to come? So, Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq. We have to remind one another. We have to remind one another. We have to become conscious. Develop this taqwa. When this taqwa will come, and at every moment, we are thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically haya will come into our lives. All the other good qualities will come, because now I'm in front of Allah. At every moment I'm in front of Allah. So how I'll behave? I'm right in front of Allah Ta'ala. Now how I'm going to behave? I can't step out of line. Allah Ta'ala is watching me. So when we will develop this Allah consciousness, from morning till night, night till morning, you know, there is a person, he goes to sleep with wudu. A person is sleeping and his eyes open, maybe the body is paining, whatever. So he's turning his karwat, you know, putting his posture right, turning on the other side, whatever. At that time also, he's thinking of Allah Ta'ala. Such the consciousness of Allah must come. At that time too, you woke up for a split moment, astaghfirullah, Allahu Akbar. You're standing up, Allah. You're sitting down, Allah. One is if we know the masnoon du'as. We don't know the masnoon, anything we're doing, bismillah, Allah. And truly, we must be thinking of Allah Ta'ala. At every moment, thinking of Allah Ta'ala. Instill this in ourselves. Instill this in our children. Don't become so busy with the world that we got no time to even make the tarbiyat of our children. We think, no, we're just sending them to madrasa, we're just sending them there, we're sending them there. No. We have to make the tarbiyat of our children. The mother in the home, that is her main dini kaam. That's her main dini kaam. That she must instill Allah consciousness into her child. Today we want to do big, big things outside. I'm teaching this over there. I'm going and feeding over there. I'm writing this articles. I'm doing that. But my own children are being neglected. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum. Our family got more right. But we're not concentrating on the family. Running around everywhere. This, I've got that meeting, this program, that jalsa, this. But our children, no time for them. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah give you tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من العمل والفعل والقول والنية والهدى إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين.